guess this is not only the Olympic version of Rosie on the House, it's the Valentine's Day edition.
But this is not a winning song.
This isn't it?
No.
There's nothing in your relationship with Amanda that this touches some emotional moment?
I'm not sure I would know this song.
Give me an Olympics.
I never...
Get rid of this.
I know we did not ask for this song in queue. This is something random out of left field.
Yeah, that's better.
But we did get a winner.
Oh, good.
And it was Do You Know a Secret by the Beatles was the song.
So do you want to know a secret?
Well, in my defense, I was playing that for Bill. I mean...
I caught that. Thank you, Mike.
It was not that clever, I'll admit it.
So... Was that song about Bill?
Yes, it was.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did we ever get the Billy clip?
No.
Billy Baru?
We got it yet. I have no notes.
We're going to get a Billy Baru sound clip for when you're in the studio with us. It's 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to talk landscape, gardening, design, planting, outdoor lifestyles. Pat in Mesa. Good morning, ma'am. How may we help you?
Good morning. This week I went and walked outside, and against my block wall alongside of the house, there was these three little holes and dirt, you know, the dirt out of them. And so we just covered them back up, and then the next day we had one big hole and covered that up, and then it just all of a sudden we stamped it down, the dirt, and all of a sudden there were three holes around that, and we had this little fence over it, and a lot of dirt coming out, and we said, where did all that come from? It looks like good dirt, because we don't have such good soil here in the back, and we don't have any shrubs, and we don't have any plants there, so we just, you know, we've been here 40 years, and that's never happened before, so just wondering if it's a mold or something, or would you have any idea what it could be?
Sounds like a groundhog. Sounds like something's digging, is burrowing.
Are we talking, when you talk about mounds of dirt, are we talking like tablespoons or like a shovel full?
Well, the small holes were just like a little, you know.
A cup?
Just a little like a cup, but not even the back end of a cup. And then when we kind of blocked it off, the three spots, it made a little bigger hole. So then we had covered it. And so it just kind of like put a lot of dirt came out, like maybe maybe two cups full or something.
That's a gopher.
Yeah,
it's a gopher.
A little gopher just burying me. He wants in that yard. He doesn't want to be discouraged. So there's a ton of tips on the RosieInTheHouse.com site for control. Other than obviously bringing in one of the pest control companies. But I would defer. Romy, do you want to give a tip on that?
And in the Mesa area is not far from the website, nogopher.com. The guy that owns that website lives right over the Mesa area. But I'll tell you, I'm gopher-free right now, which is really, really unusual. Our yard, usually I'm fighting them constantly. And my daughter from California sent me an adapter that you put on your tailpipe and connect it to a garden hose.
This is awesome. Seriously?
Yes.
And, how come I haven't heard of this? We need to get our website updated.
And you open you get in there with a little hand spade, and just enough to open the hole, you stick the hose down in there, and then you seal the dirt back up over the garden hose, and you start your car.
Oh, man, if they'd had that out before the movie Caddyshack, that'd have been a boring movie.
Would have lasted about 15 minutes.
You get to miss all his great arsenal attacks, and that really is what you have to do with gophers. You got to hit them with everything you can. But this sounds like a pretty good solve-all, because I would imagine those fumes can creep through a lot of the soil.
I would guess. Oh, I tell you, as soon as Jennifer takes a vacation to go visit her grandchildren, I'm ordering one of those Rodinators. I just need her to be gone a couple days so that I can get it, receive it, and hide it from her. Have you seen those, Bill?
No, I have not.
They're T-handled with a propane tank on it.
Oh, my.
And you stick them in the ground, pull the trigger on the propane, and then there's a little igniter down there in the bottom. And if you go to Rodinator.com, you will see what I think is probably one of the most hilarious videos you've ever seen.
Okay, that sounds like Bill Murray.
We discovered it because we have relatives that are farmers up in Canada, and there was like a quarter million, 250,000 acre fire, and it was started by one of the farmers using this device.
I'd be worried about it getting under the house if that tunnel goes under the house, especially if you had gas piped into it.
Yeah.
Ooh, that could be bad.
You'd want to blue stake the area before you did it.
Your neighbors.
I have an unnamed friend who actually pumps acetylene down there and then lights it, but he quit doing that when he realized he looked next door and the flame was shooting up in his neighbor's barn. So maybe I should try something different.
We used to use a flat shovel and a garden hose, so yeah, a little less flammable.
But that can take a lot of water. Yeah, as kids, we used to try that.
I think that's what it was. They were trying to keep us busy.
I think I was unsuccessful with flooding tactics more often than I was successful. So
agreed. They always have some extra hole somewhere.
If you got better at it than I did.
Well, we had a few hits and misses, so to speak.
Well, Julie from Scottsdale just wrote in a couple minutes ago to RosieOnTheHouse.com. Doesn't have time to call in or wait, so that's another great way that you can always reach us, and especially if it's during the week. We're obviously not here every time. But she has a very dark street at night, and she wants some landscape lighting.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. You know, that's one of the things that I do that I think I enjoy almost the most of everything mm-hmm. that we do. A good landscape lighting plan can just absolutely just make the difference between enjoying your landscape at night and not. You know, it's specific to the site, but we usually look at a couple of things. We look at highlighting focal points. If you have any nice trees, something we might want to uplight, wash walls. Sometimes it's nice to accent a structure. If you're looking for just traverse lighting, you're just, you know, like to get from A to B, some area lighting or path lighting can be a start. If you're on a budget, you just want to get started, define your walkways, define your pathways, and pick a couple focal points, and you can build the lighting system from there. With the new LED systems that we have nowadays, you can get started with a few fixtures. You can put a little wire in the ground, a little power center in, get started, and then plan for growth. And so you can kind of have it in phases. It was harder to do in the old days, but nowadays it's really easy to put a few things in and then go from there. So,
and one of her questions is this an electrician? Is this a landscaper?
Oh, no.
Is this a specialty contractor? Is this...
It's somebody who knows about outdoor lighting and a licensed landscape professional. And, of course, we would love to help her.
So. Why don't you give your phone number?
You can call us at 480-922-9497 and love to come out for a free consultation.
And when you're doing landscape lighting, I mean, how often do you have to go by the homeowner's house at night just to look at?
Oh, we like to. It's fun to drive by and see your work. So we're so familiar with the products these days that we really truly can't imagine what they're going to look like because we've seen them so many times, even in our own yards. So, but I do get that question a lot. And if you need to drive by at night, you drive by at night.
My favorite light, I think, in lighting a landscape is the moonbeam lights you put high up in the trees, shine down through the limbs, and so it creates that limb-shadowed look like a full moon is
little
up in
wind,
the
sky. A little movement of the light.
I love that
It's a very natural effect. Obviously, light doesn't come out of the ground in nature. That's a dramatic effect, and so you can even mix the two effects for a little drama in the landscape.
You want to be careful. I heard the term glare bombs.
Oh.
that's a great term because, boy, a bad lighting job is a bad lighting job.
Yeah, and, you know, I drive around in the evening and look at properties. You'll see the coach lights on pillars. It's fun to drive by a property during the day and you see the home and it's a nice landscape. Drive by at night, and if they have those pillars and they're brightly lit, you don't even see the house.
Yeah.
All you see is a glare. So.
And she's on a dark street. She could very easily overlight.
Yes, a little bit of light goes a long way.
It really does. It really does.
A big mistake we see people making a lot are motion sensors. I mean, it sounds like the ideal thing. If somebody walks up, the light turns on, it scares them away. But the motion sensor doesn't know if it's a cat, dog, person, tree branch, and they're always connected to huge, you know, 100-watt halogen spotlights.
And that's a whole different type of lighting. That's security or task lighting. Low voltage landscape lighting does have a security element to it, but really it's to beautify. It's to enhance your enjoyment of the landscape. But in a dark environment like that, a little light goes a long way. Another thing, some of the consumer product lighting that we see out there that you can get at your big box stores and put in. You know, they've got, you know, lights spaced real close together, lots and lots and lots of lights, and they don't put a whole lot of light out. But true professional low-voltage landscape lighting, I mean, one area light can do what three or four of those little things can do. So less is more.
The wrong lighting system is just so much maintenance. You're just out there dinking with it constantly, mm-hmm. replacing bulbs, and that drives me nuts.
Well, Bob wants to know, what is the best way to build a retaining garden? He's getting ready to start. It's a perfect time. Last week, Jay was mentioning that it was tomato season, and I got his newsletter here, and they have tomatoes in. So, I mean, you can get plants, put them in the ground. And there's so many benefits to a raised garden, but you got to build it right.
Right. I heard that show, and I was talking to the radio during that show.
It was singing to you.
I had an opinion, yes. I'm a proponent of raised gardens. I really do like raised areas. Our soils are tough. They're devoid of a lot of the things that a garden likes. We have an alkaline soil. It's heavy. It's clay-like. Typically, doesn't have a lot of organic material. You can modify that soil profile in a raised garden and create that perfect garden environment where you can just scoop it out with your hand and put the plant in and have success. And I really liked what Rosie's comment was. Don't make the beds too wide so that you can have a little seawall or retaining wall that you can sit on, about 20, 22 inches high. You can sit there, save your knees, garden, and reach to the plant material. We like to do that. And one of the more economical ways, Bellegarde makes some wonderful dry stack products that assemble. And they're beautiful. They're really pretty. An economical solution is to use a CMU, a block product. Not quite as attractive. You could paint it or do something to it. But I really like the Bellegarde product.
Now, on those cement products, and we would definitely recommend that over a wood product because for obvious reasons, you've got dirt and moisture, two things wood don't react.
And Arizona sun.
And wonderfully, too. Although I will say I built one out of railroad ties, and that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, that's a durable material.
Very difficult, actually. I did it by myself. Those things are like 100. I think one weighed more than I did.
You ever try and cut one with a chainsaw?
I did. It was a task.
You bought a blade too, didn't you?
But waterproofing the inside for a retaining wall. What do we need to put inside to make sure we're not leaching the soils and the water out?
What we like to do with some of the dry stack product, it's not necessarily mortared in place, so it is somewhat porous. And if it's a very low area, a low retaining area, a little soil in there, if you have a little bit of bleed through, it's not the end of the world. But if it gets a little taller, you need to retain the soil and the moisture inside of it. Just a good thick 10 mil plastic liner on the inside along the edge, just right up to the soil level, will help that soil from migrating. And once it gets set, it'll be fine.
We have a lot of good luck with that geotech material as well.
That
kind of lets the water through. Lets it drain, but retains the soil.
Right. If it's truly a CMU mortared wall, obviously the old Henry's tar, some of those others,
Algal.
I'm not real big on those. I like the liner.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888 Rosie for you.